Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inav and Crea. Today, my guest is Christopher Griffin, a.k.a. Plant Queen. Hello.
Hello, darling. Thank you for having me today.
I'm so excited. It's a good way to end the days to have an interview with you.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I was reading about you and you're such a true multi-potentialite. So let me go through the list of... roles. So I like that you say you're a plant-fluencer.
You know, a plant-fluencer, a green girl guru, a garden guru, a queen.
Horticultural creator. I like
there
that too.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
She did her research. Would it be fair to say fashionista? I think it would. In the most beautiful sense of the word.
I'll claim that I'll claim that one. I like that one. Yes, fashionista. Yes, darling. She loves a good garment.
Oh, yeah. And you are an author. You published a fabulous book. And of course, for everybody listening, there will be links put in the notes. So please do refer to it. I took your book. I went to my little, happy hour place, had a little drink. I read it from cover to cover. That's just what I did.
Oh, my goodness.
I just went through it.
Oh, my goodness. I appreciate you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I really did. It's just so lively and comforting and fun and insightful. I love it. So this is what I did. Your book. People go get the book. But y'all also often repeat that you're an educator at heart. And you're a holistic wellness. I wrote pollinizer. to keep in the theme of things growing on all this.
Hello. it's been a fun journey, honestly, this entire, plant queen journey and sharing, greening up my home and reconnecting with nature. And, as a Black queer non-binary person, representation and visibility is just really important to me, especially in horticultural spaces, because I think that especially with what we're going through in the States right now, a lot of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation and bills being introduced, LGBTQ plus people deserve places to heal. And nature is my sanctuary in the way that I heal, one of the ways that I, engage in healing. So if I can share that and share ways and practices and strategies that folk can, engage in healing, then I'm doing my job,
And I thought it made sense also because it's aligned with your day job, which is an EDIB program specialist at Headspace. So for people who wouldn't know, EDIB stands for Equity, Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging, which we share the same field basically in our day job. Before we go any further, I will ask you the same question I ask all of my guests, which is the root question, no pun intended once again. And the question is, when you were, let's say 10, 12 years old, what were you fascinated about? What were you interested or passionate about?
Well, at the age of 10 and 12, I'm trying to, think back to my mindset back then. But to be completely honest, I think I've always been a person who has enjoyed learning. I'm a curious person by heart. And specifically, I thought I was going to be a veterinarian, an animal doctor. Really loved animals. I had a lot of pets growing up. Had a lot of toy animals that I would, use my imagination and create my own little magical kingdoms and worlds. I think at 10, 12, I was very much immersed in the joys of learning, being curious, and honestly just being a kid.
So if we move, forward with your journey, so then eventually you went to school. What guided you through, I mean, it was such an interesting path.
that was a journey. Throughout you know, my educational journey, elementary, middle school, high school, I was just good at school. Like I always mm-hmm. graduated at the top of my class. Really enjoyed like getting to know my teachers. And, you know, they, when someone's passionate about something, I enjoy watching their passion and watching them share that passion. And so, you know, in the classroom, I got to witness my teachers share their passion with us as students. And so, you know, moving forward, my teachers obviously invested time and energy in me. And being a first generation college student, they knew that it was important for me. They were like, well, you like learning, you're a good student, you like the classroom, you need to experience, you know, college, you need to experience a college campus. And so they kind of guided me to do summer programs every year of high school. So I would always in a college, on campus program, learning something. I did one that was around computer programming, which was amazing. I took some college courses in psychology. And then I did, which honestly shaped my undergraduate journey. I did a chemistry program, which was really interesting. I was measuring ammonia borane, which is a hydrogen storage material. I was testing to see how much hydrogen could be released from this substance as like an alternative fuel source.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So I was like doing that as a teenager in a science lab. And it was so fascinating to me. Uh-huh. I was truly fascinated. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to be a chemist. I'm going to be a chemist. That's what I want to do when I get to school. So I applied to college. And I was like, I'm going to be, you know, you can put down intended majors. So I put down, you know, chemistry. So fast forward, I get into the college of my choice and scholarships and all that stuff. So full ride scholarship to my undergrad institution because I knew my parents wasn't going to be able to pay for my education. So worked really hard to secure as many scholarships as I could. And I sat in my first chemistry class and I was like, I am ready. Got my notebook out, got my textbook. Teach me. I am ready. Let's go. And so I... You know, the first class goes by and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is a different language. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy this. I can't. This is not. I knew in my heart I wasn't going to enjoy this as a potential major. So I had to, you know, I had to figure out, you know, my life. And I was like, what am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. I thought I was going to be a chemistry major. And now I don't know what I'm going to do. This is me being like a first year student.
Yeah. And it's stressful. There's a lot that comes in, you know, if you and you needed to find support to go. You need, it's a big deal. And it's we're young. We're so young. You know what
I mean? Know. And so I was a college counselor for quite some time for a nonprofit. And, you know, experience and one of the main reasons that I decided to become a college counselor right out of grad school was that, you know, when I was trying, I was like, we're so young. We're trying to make these decisions that are going to impact the rest of our lives in some ways. And so eventually, I realized that I really enjoyed my psychology class. So I ended up majoring in psychology, graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in psychology, a minor in gender and sexuality studies, and then went on to pursue my master's in higher education, student affairs administration, so that I could then give back on college campuses and, you know, create environments for students to thrive and feel like they belong. So did that work for quite some time. I did higher education work for about maybe almost 15 years and then eventually transitioned into the tech world where I really wanted to take some more ownership of my time and, you know, being able to, one, work from home, give me an autonomy and agency over my life that is really important to me at this time. And then working for the company that I work for, which is very in alignment with mental health and wellness, fit very much with my virtues and, you know, my values in life right now. And it's work that I enjoy. Inclusive, intersectional spaces for folks to engage across difference and build community. So I was like, this is the perfect fit. Like, so I've kind of like let my, you know, where I am in my life right now, I've always let that guide me to where I'm going to go, right? And so It's been a lovely journey. I've learned a lot about myself. I met a lot of people along the way. And the Plant Queen journey has been a way for me to explore my creative side, right? And to still engage with education and what I like to call edutainment. It's like education with a little, absolutely. You know, entertainment. For a personal passion of mine that is mine, right? That is something that I'm building that I have complete say in, right? And I think there's something powerful as an artist when you have something that's yours that you can mold and shape in the ways that you truly want to.
Absolutely. We're going to dive into that green field.
I can't wait.
And I think that I should start by saying that when I sent you an email inviting you to the podcast, I think the first line was, I need your help.
I think it was.
So I invited you because I wanted to demystify the whole concept of having a green thumb, which notoriously I do not have. So I want to do better because you were, you know, talking about where we're at in our life. And for me, moving forward, I would love to just move into nature. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing because I have no idea how to deal with nature.
It's a process. But,
Oh, gosh. But that's what I want. So there's a lot of unlearning to do in order to achieve that goal. Yeah. And I thought that we got to start slowly. Maybe, you know, taking care of plants at home would be a good start. And I thought that you would probably be interested in providing tips and much needed reassurance.
I got you.
Who are not the maybe the most confident plant parent. Now
I got you. It's one of my favorite conversations.
Yes, and that's why your book is so wonderful. It's just just like a warm blanket when it's all okay. It's a process. Oh my god, I so needed that. So at home, if you have a green thumb, you still can learn and you will. If you do not, and like me, you want to just do better, just stick with us. So my own plant journey is short. Okay. So I remember in college, I had a friend who was actually a horticulturist. he was really, really good. And I said, you know, you need to come with me to the plant store. So we can pick plants that I will not kill, that are, you know, robust.
Hello.
And I remember him choosing one plant, go, Angelique, if this one dies, I can't do anything for you anymore. So I'm like,
do you remember what plant it was?
Kidding me. No. No, but it died. So I was a bit disappointed. Now, in the previous place I lived in, it was so dark. You couldn't grow basil, you know, like, so when I moved into this place, it's very bright.
The sunlight looks
nice. I've had a bunch of plants and they're doing, I will say, okay.
That's progress.
Because I'm probably a better cat parent than plant parent, the fact is that all the plants are really high up because otherwise the cats are just eating them.
That's fair. Right. That's fair.
I would say that my favorite plant is, and I used your tip, I used the Google Lens, and I will show you. And for people, I'll just put a link to the plant itself. I think it's a rhododendron. Isn't it like a heart leaf?
Oh, yes, it is. A heart leaf philodendron. Yeah.
I love them. And I love it because it's in a planter that a late friend of mine, who was an amazing plant parent and ceramicist.
Oh, wow.
So I love that. So I have a bunch of these because they stick around.
Yeah. And they're fast growers too.
Yeah. So it's really very uplifting. You're like, oh, I'm doing an okay job. Exactly. And it's still growing. Now, everybody listening, my guest is someone who 5 years ago had one plant and now has 237. It might have gone up.
Yeah, it's about, I'm between 230 and 240, like somewhere in between there.
And it takes you 4 hours to water?
Yeah, I would say if I'm being really quick about it, I would say 4 hours. But if I'm taking my time and like enjoying the process and relaxing, I would say it takes me almost like a day. I would say like a good morning to like early evening where I'm just like, you know, checking in on the plants, making sure there's no pests, fertilizing, testing the soil to make sure that they need water versus don't need water, maybe rearranging based on their growth patterns. I'm like, okay, I need to rotate this one, or this one's not really doing well. Let's put this in another place. And honestly, it's very therapeutic. So I work from home. And so being able to kind of just take breaks throughout the day and like engage with my plants is really nice. But I really look forward to like my watering routine. It's like something that I really look forward to. I have a playlist. I put on a cute outfit. I pick myself some tea or a little cocktail if it's that kind of day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a moment, you know, and I really enjoy it. It allows me to be truly present in the now and what's right in front of me. I put my phones on do not disturb and I am like in it. And it's really peaceful and very therapeutic.
And I think that's what I kept from your book, amongst other tips. But I really loved how you were just integrating that self-care being linked to caring for plants. Because for me, it always seemed like it was such an intellectual thing. You know, it's this type of soil plant. And I don't have a memory for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason why most of my plants wouldn't survive is because I actually talk to them and I tell them they're beautiful and I do water them. But I'm the type of plant parent who overwaters and underwaters. So I look at them and I think they just survive without nothing. So, but I think that it would be really cool and interesting and inspiring if you took us through how is it that someone 5 years ago starts with one plant and then how as over 230? How did that happen?
It's been a lovely journey. My appreciation for nature really started with my grandmother. She grew up in Clayton, Georgia. She grew up on a farm that my great grandmother owned. They had a rich and deep connection to the land that they were on. And so my grandmother moved up to Philly, where she had my mother and my uncle. I was brought into the world, and she welcomed me into her garden. She built a garden for herself, and I'm talking like a small little plot in Southwest Philly. And we would go on trips to nurseries, and she was the original plant queen. She, really nurtured my love for nature and my appreciation and my respect for Mother Nature. And so fast forward, I had graduated grad school. It was a year after I had graduated grad school, and I was really trying to find my footing. I was like, I'm no longer a student. I've always been a student. I love being a student. So I felt a little lost. And even though I was a college counselor and I was working in a high school and I was like, trying to, share with my students at college, or, education after high school was an option for them, I didn't feel like I was learning. And so, I don't know, it was one particular day, I had just moved into a new apartment with my roommate, and the ceilings were really high. We had great sunlight. And I was like, this place needs something. I'm not sure what it is, but it needs something. So I just started going for a walk, and I came across this little hardware store. And it was a marble queen pothos, this little pothos with speckles of white on its leaves, like white variegation. It was like a mix. It was like a marble queen pothos with a regular pothos. And I was like, oh, this is interesting and unique. And she was kind of struggling. And I was like, I feel like this represents me. Like, I'm struggling. I'm trying to grow, but I'm not sure where I'm going. I was like, you know what? I feel you. You see me. Let's go. So I brought the plant home, and I really thought of my grandmother in that moment. I was like, wow, this is my first plant, thinking of my grandmother and everything that she taught me. And I was like, you know what? If I can keep this plant alive, then I'm going to invest in this journey. And so I put the plant in a little corner where she got some good sunlight, and she grew like wild.
Wow.
And I still actually have that plant today. Still have that plant, and she is still one of the luscious plants that I have. She's the original
grandma of plants now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so she's doing lovely, and I propagated, her and gave her to friends to start their journey.
Wow.
And so she's like my legacy plant. And so after that, I was like, well, you know, I can be a student of life. Like, you can continue to learn. You don't need a classroom. Life is a classroom. Like, let me create my own university and let me create my own classroom. And so, yeah, I hopped on my bike that summer and started, riding around Brooklyn, exploring the different plant shops. Literally would type in plant shop on my phone and would just ride my bike to different shops. And then eventually started sharing my journey on my personal Instagram account. And people were like, oh, like, you're really into plants. They have plant questions. Not like, this is interesting. I was like, oh, they're already asking me about plant stuff. And I haven't even really posted. I was like, well, I guess I need a plant Instagram. I was like, why not? Let's start it. And so that's how Plant Queen was born.
Right.
And it came from not only, you know, thinking of my grandmother as like a queen and into plants, so Plant Queen. But also one of my favorite songs is Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, oh, Plant Queen is it. Like, that's it. That's it right there. And so, yeah, throughout the last, it's been about 8 years now. Throughout the last 8 years, I've kind of just been slowly collecting plants as I go. And, you know, there are some plants that leave us for that little botanical garden in the sky. And yeah, that is okay.
And about you, how you described that. Yeah,
it happens. You know, it happens. And so, you know, throughout the years, I've just allowed my curiosity to really feed and allow me to grow my plant family. And yeah, I would, you know, collect plants when I would travel within the state. So there are some plants that I've gotten with my family when we went on family trips. When I'm going upstate with friends, I flew back with a plant from Florida.
Mm.
Yeah. And so like each plant kind of has its own little memory, its own little day that I can like point to and be like, this is the memory with this plant. And so, yeah, I think it's something so beautiful. There's so many beautiful things about plants. I think one, the harmonious nature that they have. They've been around a lot longer than we have. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from plants, especially when it comes to like climate justice and sustainability politics and learning how to be better in sync with this beautiful, precious planet that we're on. But also, I think there's a lot of ways that we can better care for ourselves and each other in the ways that we care for our plants, right? Where they need water, we need water. They need sunlight, we need sunlight. They need nutrients, we need nutrients. They need room to grow, we need room to grow. They let go yellowing leaves, we got baggage that we need to let go. You know, so like, there's, you know,
it's so true though. Right? It's so inspiring. And I think that's what's so refreshing and joyful. And I know that for you, joy is important, and it is for me as well. I think that it's an illusion to look for happiness. I think that happiness is made of a collection of joyful moments, and then you have happiness. That's my take on it.
I love it.
And like just your tree tour. I love them.
Oh, yeah. And that's me nerding out. That's just me nerding out.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, well, hello. That's brains meeting up there, you know. And so for people, and again, of course, I will put the links. You're based in Brooklyn in New York.
Yes.
So you go through parks and you give a tour. This is this kind of tree. But it's just so entertaining because you're funny and obviously knowledgeable, but it's just so much fun. And I love fashion. There's always a bit of fashion that's in there.
Yeah, and I have a little look.
Yeah, well. Come on. So it's just so wonderful. You learn, but you're having like such a good moment. And I thought it was such a smart venture to take on, right? And I think it's interesting for people who live in cities. Sometimes they think you don't have access to nature, but you were saying that, but you can create that nature in your own flat, just like you did. And for people to understand what an expert you are. So you actually have a, what's the word in English? Boussole, you know, that tells you the north, the west. And when you move into a new place, you wait to see how the sun lights the rooms and wherever it hits and however it hits, what plant would be appropriate in whatever space. So I'm in awe of all those little intricate attentions you put into that journey. So I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, that's true. Maybe I have plans that actually don't have enough light or too much. I'm surrounded by very good plant parents.
So, hello. I don't know.
Maybe one day it will rub off on me, but.
It's a journey. It's a journey. And, you know, I've made tons of mistakes. I'm not perfect, right? There are still some plants that are hard for me to keep alive, right?
Yeah. And you talk about the middle miss because all the plants are mademoiselle, right?
Oh, yes, darling.
Yes. So, you talk about Miss Middle Leaf Fig. That
Yeah. She's a tricky queen. So the fiddle leaf fig is of the ficus family. And she is just a plant that doesn't enjoy being moved around a lot. Mm. Kind of like one space. And she establishes her rhythm. Like plants have memory, right? And so it's not memory in the ways that how we think of memory, but memory in terms of the time of day when the sunlight going to hit. And plants have mechanisms and hormones that allows them to grow towards the sun so that they can, you know, continue to feed and self-sustain themselves, right? And this is, you know, sometimes just looking up small little things like how, why do plants face the sun? And this is all of this knowledge is self-taught. Like, I'm self-taught.
Oh my gosh,
I don't have a degree in botany or horticulture or anything like that. This is truly me just being a nature nerd, being curious and wanting to learn, right? And so, you know, the plants that we bring into our home, you have to think about the context, right? So we have these wild, beautiful creatures. And yes, there has been, you know, scientists who have created hybrids and cultivars. And cultivars are basically, you know, plants where they select particular gene traits to grow, you know, a particular kind of plant so that they can grow better in homes and all that stuff. So obviously, through the help of science, we've been able to create plants that are better adapted for indoor spaces. But at the end of the day, these are outdoor creatures, right?
Yeah,
and we're bringing them into a cave with windows. Like that's, yes. You know, so you have to like think about those things. And so, you know, when a plant doesn't do well, we're our own harshest critics, right? So I think we immediately rush to like, it's me, I am the problem. And sometimes it's literally the space that you're in. Maybe the space cannot provide the plant with what she needs to grow. Or even in some cases, I've experienced where when a plant is traveling, just the state of shock, right? Like we all know moving is traumatic for us as human beings, right? So imagine a plant traveling from nursery, uprooted to a truck, to the plant store, to your home. Sometimes it's on its way out by the time you're bringing it home, right?
Oh, wow.
And so there's so many different factors that comes into why a plant may leave.
So you need
right?
empathy.
Yeah.
Yes. Think about the journey before it actually gets to your place.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So it's a process. And I think, you know, we learn a lot from our failures, right? Sometimes we learn a lot more from our failures than we do our successes. And so, you know, I think I enjoy those. I don't consider myself an expert, right? Because I feel like when folks put expert labels, it's like, I know all. And I'm like, I don't know
and
all.
And you get stuck perhaps in that.
Yeah, you get stuck or there's, you know, these false expectations. And if people want to identify as experts in their field, that's great. I don't use that word because I know that there's always something new that I can learn. And I'll forever be a life learner. So I never want to say I'm the expert of anything because I always want to continue to learn and continue to be curious and continue to allow myself room to keep growing. So
I love that. And I really, really like the idea of having, you know, a thought of their journey as you adopt them into your home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading your book, something came to mind. As a cat parent, I don't know if you heard of the 333 rule when you adopt a cat. I wanted to ask you if you think it might be the same for plants.
What is the 333 rule for cats?
So it takes 3 days for the cat you just adopted to decompress. It takes 3 weeks to get used to its new environment. Okay. And it takes 3 months to feel at home.
Oh, ooh, I love that. Now I'm going to talk to my cat friends and be like, have you heard of the 333 rule?
Yes. Here you go.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And so I typically have like a process whenever I, you know, bring a new plant into my home. And so typically for about a week, I isolate the plant. And the isolation is just to make sure that there aren't any pests growing on the plant. Gosh. Yeah,
because we can't do 237.
Yeah, we can't have that. That's a no-no. Don't want that. Lord, knock on wood. All right. And, you know, I always inspect the plants before I bring them into my home. But some of these pests are microscopic and like are, you can't see them with the human eye. And so I'll, you know, isolate them for about a week. I'll leave them in their nursery pot because it's transplant shock that they're experiencing. So a change in temperature, humidity levels, and sunlight conditions. That's typically like a change in the environment, transplant shock. Then I'm like, okay, you don't got any pests. Let's repot you. And one of the signs that I look for, always try to get a plant that has a new leaf growing. And if the new leaf is continuing to grow and in her process, I'm like, okay, that's a sign that the new leaf is acclimating, right? And so I'll repot her, you know, whatever soil mixture recipe I think is best for the plant. And then I'll place her in her spot. And I'll leave her in her spot for a good 2 weeks. I'm like, let's see how you do in this spot for 2 weeks. I'm going to give you enough time. If that younger leaf dies, then I'm like, okay, we may need to move you around. If the younger leaf continues to grow, but it's the older leaf towards the bottom of the plant, or maybe some of the larger leaves towards, you know, the beginning near the roots, I'm okay with that because you have to think about that leaf grew in a very particular kind of condition.
Yeah.
It's in a new environment. As long as the new leaf is fine with this, that means that the plant has adjusted and continuing to grow. If after 2 weeks I'm noticing that the new leaf is not doing well, then I'll, you know, adjust and move her. But the worst thing that you can do, and this is one of the mistakes that people make with the fiddle leaf fig, is that, you know, a leaf drop or it droops and they're like, oh, gotta move it around, move it around. And it's like, girl, the plant is just trying to adjust herself. Let her make up her mind and see if she likes this spot. Yeah, she could be like, I'm not used to this. What is this? And then, you know, you got to look and see the leaves may be experiencing sunburn. So do research and see what sunburn looks like. It may be a lack of light. And so look at what leaves that don't get a lot of sunlight look like. And so like all this is available before our very hands, right? Sure. I think people look at plants and they're like, oh yeah, they can survive outside. They can obviously survive in my apartment. It's like, child, no, we gotta attend to them, honey. They're not used to this. This is not where they've grown. So yeah, I think there's a level of intentionality. And I don't think, I would hope for people that they allow themselves the time to really just sit with what's growing, right? And to practice patience, to practice grace. It's important. It's a part of the process.
And again, that's why you say that plants are a reminder to self-care. And in your book, you even include like a breathing exercise. I'm like, oh, that's just fantastic. You have a tagline, okay, which is creating community with plants or a mindset, right? Mm-hmm. How do you see that materializing?
Yeah.
Beyond Plant Queen, the project, because I mean, hello, community. I mean, you have, 400,000 followers?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I will interrupt you because I will be quoting you right now.
Okay.
Through caring for plants, I have learned how to better care for myself. I'm better at giving myself grace, patience, and forgiveness. And I understand that for you, using plants and building community with that is also exactly doing that with a community.
Oh, yeah.
Care, patience, kindness.
Mm-hmm. With each other. Yeah. Yeah, honestly, you know, I feel like that's one of the best parts of, you know, this entire journey is just the people and the relationships and the friendship that I've been able to build. Some of my closest friends today are folks that I've met through plant, right?
Wow.
So how it's manifested. Prior to the pandemic, we would do plant swaps where folks would bring plants and trade with each other. I'm sure folks have been doing it for quite some time, but it was very new to me and I hadn't experienced those before. And I think one of the most beautiful things about it was that the room was filled with people that looked like me, right? Black and brown folk,
yes.
LGBTQ plus folk. And that felt really beautiful because I remember when I started Plant Queen and I was searching online, I was like, I don't see people that look like me. I was like,
but it's true. You're right. Yeah.
Where are we?
Very true.
And so I think that was a big aspect of the community for me. It's like seeing folks that looked like me was one of the most beautiful things. And so Plant Swap, I did workshops. We had like botanical themed drag shows,
that's
which were fabulous. And now it's been for me, while there's still, you know, events and things that I get to be a part of and, you know, connect with individuals, it's honestly been like everyday interactions now where I'm walking down the street and someone's like, Plant Queen. And I'm like, I look and it's a beautiful person who's like, oh my God, you've helped me with my plant journey. And we have a whole conversation about plants and, you know, where they are. And I'm recommending plant shops. And that now happens to me on a regular basis. And I am being an extrovert and enjoying exchanging energies with people. It's honestly been something I'm so grateful for. I could be having a bad day, and then I have an interaction with someone who loves plants or nature as much as I do. And we would never know it, you know, if we weren't, you know, connected through social media.
You talk about this moment where you're working on a computer in a coffee shop, and you're probably working on photographs for the Instagram account or something. And then the person across from you or next to you is like, oh, you love plants as well? Oh, so do I. And so it sparks these conversations and these connections between people who might have never spoken to each other otherwise.
Exactly. And I mean, there's been moments when we've exchanged hugs with someone who, you know, we just met, we talked about plants, and we hug each other, and it's such a warm embrace. Mm. And I don't know, I just think about all those moments that have honestly just been truly beautiful, and I'm so grateful for the wisdom that I've been able to experience from people like that person in the coffee shop about the fiddle leaf fig, you know, and they showed me their photo when they were getting ready to move, and that's not anything that you can't get that offline. Right?
Yes.
You can't type that in and look for that experience. And so that's why I encourage folks, you know, I think it's one thing to obviously do your research and, you know, use the resources at your fingertips, aka your phone, your laptop, your iPad, whatever you have, to get a sense of, you know, the plant that you're bringing into your home. But also don't be afraid to dive into community, right? 9 times out of 10, you probably know someone who has plants. 9 times out of 10,
yeah,
the person at the plant shop probably want to talk about plants too. So ask them a question. Even when I'm going to the botanical gardens, if I see someone, you know, a horticulturalist working on an exhibit or caring, you know, cultivating one of the plants, I'll ask like, hey, how is this process going? And I've had full like hours of conversation.
Wow.
Just chatting with people along the way in a botanical garden. So, you know, if you're an outgoing person, because obviously folks like to engage with the world in different ways, not everyone is extroverted and want to talk with people. But if you are that kind of person, I really encourage you to ask those questions. You may meet a new friend.
And if you're an introvert, tag along with an extrovert, a plant parent. And so
exactly.
You can learn, you don't say
anything,
they
important.
Talk. That's wonderful. And then you learn everything. Do you know what image that I get from listening to you about these connections and community? It reminds me of the communication system trees have underground. That's what is being manifested, and it materializes that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you contribute in creating at a time where we so need connections after the pandemic. I mean, we're all kind of...
Yeah, we need connection. And, you know, what better way to continue to grow our roots alongside others, right? And yeah, even, you know, trees communicate with their roots. And there are some tree system. And I think they may use not only their roots, but I think there's a harmonious relationship with mushrooms as well.
Yes, yes.
Underground or fungi. And so if there's a thick tree, other trees will send nutrients to that tree in order for that tree to like, yeah, it's wild. We can learn just, a lot from plants.
Yeah. I will not ask you what is your favorite plant. I think I would be utterly cruel, but I will ask you, well, two-part question. So what do you see for the future for yourself?
Okay.
And then what is the dream plant you don't have that you're like, oh gosh, one day.
I have both those questions.
Okay, pass the mic.
I'm ready. You know, for the future, honestly, I want to continue to be able to do what I'm doing, you know, sharing the love, joy, and happiness that plants have brought into my home, hopefully with a wider audience, you know, potentially a television show.
Oh.
So, you know, manifesting that.
Yeah.
Also a second book. So in conversation about that. And honestly, I would love to travel. I feel like that's like in the travels that I've been able to do myself and the different botanical gardens, the different ways that folks use plants, right? How different cultures utilize plants and how they grow their food. I would love to have that be my university, have traveling be my university and be a student of you know, the different places that I travel to. So,
and then having an assistant to water those plants, because I've been thinking, I was seeing your Instagram on holidays. And I'm like, who dares take up that, you know, not that, well, for somebody it might be a task, but like it can
be a lot. So typically what I do is that my plants are good without me for up to 2 weeks. Yeah. So I water them like typically the day before I travel. I time it right, make sure they're really good, fertilize, all that stuff. And then if I'm going for more than that, I have plant friends that'll take turns. And, you know, we do the same for each other. So like when they're traveling, you know, we, you know, pass the watering can around. So that's what we do there. In terms of the plant that I really, really want is actually a tree. I would love to one, well, it's actually two, if you give me two.
Oh, yeah, three if you want.
So one would be a variety of redwood, which is one of the largest trees around. I know there are a lot in the Bay Area. So would love to have a redwood. And I've seen like baby redwoods throughout Brooklyn for sale. So I'm like, I would love to one day own a redwood. The other tree is a weeping willow. Mm. Those are just some of the most beautiful trees. So I began to continue to explore the outdoors, I become just fascinated with trees. And I know that my current space right now is not conducive to that. And so I know in the future that, you know, when I have my home with land, those are going to be some of the first trees that I purchased.
I was just going to say what you have to manifest now is some land in a house.
Yeah.
It's all coming. It's all coming. Listen, I have a business proposal for you. So there's a florist shop in my neighborhood. It's a family thing since 1956.
They're retiring.
They're selling it. And I'm thinking we should open a shop where we sell plants and high heels. So you can tell me how to use both. Because I have no idea.
Oh, that is a good concept, actually. That's a lovely concept. Oh, my God. Hills and plants strutting into nature. Oh, my word. Oh, my God. That's a beautiful, beautiful business proposition. My Lord have mercy. How successful would we be? Lord have mercy.
Yeah, and that would be very interesting because as you learn to wear higher heels, then you can reach higher shelves. And
there
then
you go.
Get, you know, yeah,
there it's you an go. Incentive. Oh, my word. Yeah, I actually just bought my highest pair of heels. I'll actually show you real quick.
Oh.
My highest pair.
Because you're very agile. And, oh, yes.
Yeah, so these are a beautiful glimmery, shimmery, glittery disco ball, silver platform heel. The heel is 6 inches. The platform is about 3.5 inches.
It's a beautiful shoe. And it's all bling. And I used to tell my team that life was too short not to wear bling.
I mean, darling, we gotta shine. We gotta shine, darling. We're all stars and the sun never stops shining. Okay.
I love that. Thank you so much, Christopher, for this time with us. Thank you
for having me. This has been such a lovely conversation. Your energy is amazing. And this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
People, get the book. It's just such a beautiful book. It's so uplifting. Everybody need that book. Always more plants, everyone. Just buy plants and I'll do better.
Darling, you're doing better and it's a process and it's not a green thumb. It's a green muscle. It's something you work on over time.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much, Plant Queen.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you for being with us today. I hope you've been able to identify how you can integrate innovation and creativity in your daily life. If you would like to dive in or know more, you can contact me on my website, enoughcrea.com. Special thanks to Millimétrique, who composed my music themes. Thank you for listening and bye for now.